This is the G1 Podcast.
This is your showrunner GP here. I am finally out on vacation for a bit, but I wanted to give you something to hold you over, at least for this week. This is a rebroadcast of a piece I reported and produced for Rock Bottom. It also aired on TBS EFM Koreascape. It's probably one of the most timeless pieces I've put together, but I hope it won't be. I hope that one day this entire issue can be looked upon as the problems of a society we've improved upon. Here it is.
Immediately the scent of this place.
Yeah, you can smell it.
It's pervasive. Oh, wow. It's very similar to an outhouse.
Oh wow.
And there's only one light on. Bathroom, how many rooms are here? 1, 2, 3. About 12 rooms. There's just the one solitary bathroom. It's damp.
I'm really sorry, but it looks like cells.
Yeah, they do feel like cells. Mm-hmm.
It's damp, really dark, damp.
I kind of get just chills from standing here.
And like cells, the doors have latches for padlocks on the outside in place of regular doorknobs. The only real sign of inhabitants was the faint noise of televisions, their light sneaking through doors left ajar in the -3 degree cold for the sake of ventilation. A set of crutches hanging off the walls reminded us that poverty wasn't the only factor at play here. So was illness. This particular jokbangchon, a word that has no English equivalent and no legal standard for defining, was home to 67 residents and their belongings, each packed into a room the area of a queen-sized mattress. We were introduced to one of the residents, who reluctantly but kindly showed us his space.
This room's between a mini fridge, a microwave, a rice cooker, and a TV. How many hours a day do you spend here?
하루 거의 다 뭐 일이 없으니까요. 하루 있는 거예요.
Pretty much all day long because he's not working at the moment.
잠깐 나갔다 오는 거 이 정도.
아버님 냉장고 한 번만 열어봐도 돼요?
We see some instant noodles, ramen.
이게 주식이에요?
That's his menu.
So there's eggs and ramen. One egg for every pack of ramen. I see 4 here.
4 eggs and 4 packs of instant noodles. For reference, that's about 2,450 calories. Our associate producer, Jamie, found out that inmates in Korean prisons receive 2,500 calories across 3 meals daily. The difference? The ramyeon and eggs cost about 4,000 won a day. Remember, prison meals are paid by tax dollars, and the inmates get meals that were carefully balanced by professional nutritionists to meet certain health guidelines. 4,000 won a day, though. Most of us spend more than that between our morning cup of coffee and commute to work. This is the daily reality for residents of the Jokbang, one of the most quintessential symbols of poverty here in Korea. Right here in the heart of Seoul, between Sugmyung Women's University and Seoul Station, not more than 100 yards away from 4 brand new glass office buildings and the chain bakeries and cafes that spring up like weeds around them. The residents of these Jokbangchon, which live in clusters of 700 to 1,000 individuals in neighborhoods all over the city, we're the generation that worked odd jobs in manual labor to build this country's now world-class economy. Curious about whether or not these individuals were as alone as they seemed? The team and I headed just across the street to the Seoul Station Jokbang Counseling Center.
So here we are on the first floor of it. I already forgot his name. It's pretty long. What did you say its name was?
서울역 Jokbang 상담소.
It is really nice. If you had to describe the vibe, I would say it's kind of like a cafe, right?
Yeah, more like a cafe with really cool interior designs.
There's some hair on the ground. There's a lot of hair on the ground. Why is there hair on the ground?
Because a missionary work team from a church came here to volunteer to give a haircut to the Jokbangchon residents at the center. You can here's a tree with many, many messages. So you can see 올해는 장가, meaning I want to get married this year. So it's all New Year's hopes and messages, I guess. Wishing for everyone's health, one of the messages said. Yeah, pretty much everyone wishes for their health, yeah.
Yeah, I can see some say just a 건강, 몸 건강하게. I have gone on dates in cafes that are not as nice as this place. Right. Yeah, let's head on up.
We were told the center was opened in June of 2014, sponsored primarily by one of Korea's largest mobile service providers. According to the staff, they continue to allot money for the center's annual budget.
Should we interview one of the residents?
Yes, we should always do that.
We asked him a little bit about himself and why he comes to the center.
I was born in 1957. At the moment, I'm living at 91-5. It's been over 10 years. I come back and forth to the center often because it's good. I can do a lot of things, like take a bath. Jokbang doesn't have one, so I can have a bath, I can do the laundry. That's why I come. It's hard to do the laundry in a jokbang. It's all cold water. I have no choice but to use the facility often.
I was very pleasantly surprised that the government and businesses were stepping in to fill the cracks of their humble housing situations. To find out more about how the center was doing that, we spoke to their director.
저는 전명재 실장입니다.
So his name is Chun Myung-jae, and he basically said there are about 1,000 people living in Dongjadong area. The center takes care of those residents who are socially neglected, mostly elderly people who are in absolute poverty. There are 4 official workers working for the center. There are 2 nurses from the Yongsan-gu district office, and then 2 volunteers. So altogether, 8 people work for the center. And basically, they work as a bridge between the residents and institutions and facilities and organizations and hospitals who can provide more support for the residents, like providing healthcare and actually giving them food and things like that. So their biggest goal is to provide the foundation for those residents to become independent.
Jokbang residents are eligible for all center services free of charge. In addition, the center even hires a small contingent of them to help with upkeep and maintenance. He went on to say that the reception from the residents has been generally positive, but with only 8 full-time staff members for roughly 1,000 residents, at times the job gets stressful.
스트레스를 많이 받으시나요?
많이 받습니다.
He said just a very small percentage of those residents. Some of them have drinking problems. They sometimes come to the center and verbally abuse the workers here and other people. So that's when they get the stress the most. And he said the boundary between homeless people and Jokbangchon residents is very minimal because once they stop being able to pay for the rent, they become homeless.
And what are the times that make it all worthwhile?
저희한테 고맙다고 인사해 주실 때.
When they say thanks. Alcoholism, poverty, and any number of physical and mental health issues. Every individual resident had a different story, and I wanted to hear them all.
우리 어머니가 먼저 돌아가셨어.
My mother passed away first, and when my father remarried, I was bullied by my stepmother, which was why I left. I wasn't smart. If I had been smart, I would have done many things, but I wasn't able to learn anything. I had many dreams, but when reality hits you, you let go of all of your dreams and live day to day. That's how I've ended up here. I can't ever escape. Think about it. If I go anywhere else, the cost of living will be so high.
We're back in the center, and we just came from that Jokbangchon, the residences.
I mean, maybe you can barely fit 2 people in there. If you didn't
have any furniture, it was the size of a bathroom inside of an apartment.
Exactly. That's why I said it more looks like a cell.
And, you know, in here it's nice and warm over there. He had to open his window to keep, you know, airflow going through.
Right across the road.
Just the stark contrast between the cafe-like place we're in now.
It's very modern, very bright and full of people. And
the place that we were just at, it's almost night and day. You don't even feel like it could exist in the same city, even. It seems like there's some sort of disconnect. It's great that there's all these facilities and that, you know, they're communal. It helps keep them going, but does it raise their standard of living if that gentleman said he was there almost all hours of the day? How much could it possibly help to have a place like this when you still have to live like that?
The more time I spent there, the more I couldn't shake the feeling that perhaps I, as an outsider, wanted more for the residents than they themselves really cared to have.
I just hope that I can be healthy. Being healthy keeps me happy. It's not like I'm going to be able to save money or get a job. Other people say they're going to do these things, but that's all a fraud. They need to be more realistic. I want to live without getting in the way of others, getting their help and being bad-mouthed about. Just make the best of what I have.
His pessimistic outlook clashed sharply with the ambience of the center, its staff, and my own personal views on how he could go about improving his situation. I held my tongue, reminding myself that his opinion was his own, not necessarily shared by the thousand other unique individuals living here. His basic desire for good health, though, is shared by the majority of his neighbors. It manifested on the decorated tree we encountered in the lobby, and seems to be at the forefront of concerns for Chokbang residents as it becomes one for all of us as we age, regardless of socioeconomic classifications. Our trip to the center happened to coincide with a monthly visit by a church-affiliated volunteer Oriental medical group. We sat down with Pastor Kim Byung-no and Dr. Che Byung-tak to ask them about what the most common health issues were and what services they offered the residents.
Mainly they have joint problems, their neck, shoulders, their backbones, and then also they tend to carry heavy things. Some of them are in like the labor market, so they have joint problems. Also they have digestive system problems because some of them they just have drinking problems, and then also respiratory problems. Some of them I see most of them smoking. So they provide some oriental medical treatment, and also they spread the word of God and try to pass Christianity to the residents.
We provide them acupuncture therapy and moxa therapy and cupping and renewal of their bones, yeah, etc. Yeah. In addition, we give them herbal medicine.
The doctor's belief in his work carried through in his smile. How could he possess such conviction when the recipients, one of which we had just heard from, were so resigned to their lot in life?
So many visitors, so many patients here, they are eager to come here. Once we meet them, we become friends with each other. So especially when you come here, many patients are the old ones. Once they have some kind of therapy, they are very, very satisfied. And after them, they come again. Okay. 대부분 여기 오시는 분들 중에서 많은 분들이
because many of them, they still don't get the national insurance benefit. So they come here and get free treatment. It's all they have, all they can have. So they feel really grateful for the service they're providing them.
Despite the best intentions and efforts of volunteers and staff, the corporately funded counseling center, and even special Lunar New Year's meals they'll be receiving this holiday, one thing that society and taxpayers simply cannot provide, and a thing that most of us are guilty of taking for granted, is behind their reason for living here and at the root of their sorrow. Family.
I don't have any. I left home when I was very young. I don't have any contact with them. Even if I miss them, I don't have any money. And because I'm getting old and thinking about them makes your head spin. So you put your energy into other things. Without any money, I can't be a man. So how can I contact them? I don't know about others. Some start drinking. Because I don't really drink, I gamble.
Without money, he considers himself unworthy of having a family, yet he gambles when he does have it. It's as if all the residents here are just trying to stay afloat in a whirlpool of catch-22 situations, and when the current gets too strong, they resign themselves to surviving day to day. It's easy to blame the individual, dismissing them as undisciplined or irresponsible, but behind every individual's reality is a canvas of invisible factors. An inadequate welfare system that was unequipped for the nation's rapidly aging society, wealthy chokbang landlords who refused to add heating, hot water, or renovate their buildings, and even if they did, it'd drive up rent prices, forcing tenants onto the streets. I initially came to this chokbang in hopes of finding a sense of progress, a way to reach out, but I've since settled for simply raising awareness. These were the thoughts we ended our first day with as we headed home, cautiously optimistic about finding more resolution on our next chokbang visit. And now, day two.
Good morning, Sangcheol. Where are we right now?
We are in Mulledong area in Yeongdeungpo-gu district. And we're right by the Gwangya Church, where they provide free lunch every single day for homeless people and Jokbangchun residents.
There's a lot of people. You know how many people come here for this free lunch service?
Around 400 people come to get the meal every single day. And so I heard that the Jokbangchun area, the shanty town in Mulledong, is actually the biggest Jokbangchun areas in Seoul. It comprises of around 2,000 Jokbangchun residents. So maybe that's why we see a big number of people coming to get the meal every single day.
Let's take a walk around and see what we can find.
Making our way around the area, we were taken a bit off guard by how much less friendly people here seem to be compared to the residents we encountered on our first Jokbang neighborhood visit. As it turned out, there were actually two lunch services going on daily, both run by church groups, the difference being that one charged a nominal fee of 200 won and the other was free. Interestingly enough, the 200 won lunch had a far longer line than the free lunch that Sungcho and I were volunteering for.
Yeah, we just heard a train passing by. It's located literally right next to the tracks. It's pretty nuts.
We're under the tracks.
Actually, yeah, we're right under the tracks. It smells of steam and rice.
Yeah, big portions.
Yeah, they are really big portions,
and
huh?
A variety of banchan.
Yeah.
Small dishes.
I would gladly
have a meal like that and pay for it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It seems like something that you might pay for.
Straight into business.
Yeah. They give us gloves and an apron.
Yes, ready to serve food.
So it looks like we're serving kimchi. There's a gochu, the steamed eggs, and then there's that awesome purple rice that I like so much. And there's soup, and they're giving out bread. All right, let's do what we're here to do. People are waiting outside this tent, actually, so it's kind of hard to see how many people are waiting. Oh, wow, no, now I can see. Yeah, far outside the tent. You can see them going straight through the parking lot. That's got to be at least 100 people.
Obviously, there are not enough seats for all of these people to eat together. So there are more people lining up than actually people eating.
You know, usually when you have the idea of like serving food, community service type events in the West, the idea is that you're also provided with warmth, like on the inside of a shelter. But this is literally a tent in the middle of a parking lot.
We were very grateful it wasn't snowing, not just for ourselves serving the food, but for those anxiously waiting in the winding line outside the tent.
Very few words are exchanged.
Yeah, just
between anyone, like working here, between
come, eat, and leave right away.
It's very different from the communal atmosphere of the
Dongcha. Yeah, because if they come here on a daily basis, they must get to know each other.
I get a feeling that a lot of this is being alone together, you know?
If I was just passing by here, I wouldn't have noticed that it was run by a church. There are no crosses or any signs of Christian.
There's no signs at all.
Yeah.
Nothing to mark what this is.
And it looks like they all know the routines here, as in like where to get the food and where to get the utensils.
It's very orderly.
Yeah, yeah. So it seems like they come here every single day.
It was at this point that our associate producer Jamie sat down with a few of the regulars to find out how they felt about the free lunch service.
All of the side dishes are delicious, and the people working here treat us very well. No, it's not comfortable, but I sleep. it still makes me happy. I tell myself it's happiness and go to sleep. The government is doing a great job, providing us with a place to sleep. We should be thankful that the country is providing what it does.
We live together. I'm old and I can't even see properly, which makes it hard. But I've met a lovely lady, which makes me feel a little warmer. Sometimes she doesn't eat, but takes care of me, so I call her my younger sister. Because she's so nice, she has a lot of luck wherever she goes. Even all the men here are so nice. They don't mistreat me for being old. They even offer me some of their food. We just need to be thankful for this.
How much can an old person eat? It should all be given to the young ones. I feel like I'm stealing food from young people. Even when I'm lining up here, I always feel so sorry. If I stand at the back of the line, the young people are so nice that they always tell me to eat first. I'm so thankful.
The females were far more vocal about their feelings than the males, who constituted at least 95% of the lunch guests. Everyone's gratitude seemed to be for the food, though, and if that gratitude also extended to the people serving it, well, we selfishly wished it would. In attempts to reconcile our initial expectations with the reality of the experience, and to find out what other resources were available to the impoverished citizens of Seoul, we spoke to Jang Byung-chang, director of the Yeongdeungpo Gwangya Church Homeless Center, an affiliate of the Yeongdeungpo Jokbang Counseling Center. First, I asked about how the hundreds of unemployed elderly living in the neighborhood were able to pay their rent.
수급자, 기초생활 수급자.
So 60 to 70% of Jokbangchon residents are basic livelihood security recipients.
The Basic Livelihood Security Program is Korea's primary welfare program, and as of 2011, the latest data set I could find covers only a fifth of the 15% of the population estimated to live in relative poverty. When we narrow that demographic down to just the elderly, it becomes nearly half that are considered impoverished, making Korea the frontrunner in old age poverty amongst the OECD's 34 member states. A possible explanation for this being the Basic Livelihood Security Program's strict eligibility requirements. To find out what other forms of assistance were available, particularly what the municipal government was doing for the city's impoverished population, we reached out to a social welfare worker for comment.
I'm Park Sung-yong from the Seoul Council on Social Welfare, which runs the Seoul Food Bank. The Seoul Metropolitan Government supports daily necessities, particularly a lot of food products, through the Seoul Council on Social Welfare, or Seoul Food Bank. During the summer, we provide fans, and in the winter, we provide heating appliances. From time to time, we also do house repairs as well.
In addition to those basic survival aids, the Gwangya Church itself provides a range of programs geared towards long-term change.
So there's an educational program that they recently started this year. People who weren't able to attend middle school and high school, they get classes to take school qualification exams. There are also programs that encourage people to quit smoking and drinking. There are classes where people can learn how to save up money to become independent. There are also counseling programs, and they help them move out of those Jokbangchon village. And there are actually people who meet their future spouses in the center. So if they do want to get married, then they also get support to have the weddings and start a new family.
There are about 30 centers throughout the entire city, like this one. But yeah, the programs are pretty much similar throughout the city.
He also mentioned that the center offered free housing to over 60 individuals. Surprisingly though, the free housing wasn't a popular option because of the regulations that the residents must follow. Suddenly, the dichotomy between what's being offered for free and what's being taken away from the recipients became obvious. Free housing at the expense of liberty, free meals at the expense of dignity.
The people that we served lunch today, it was very transactionary, it was very cold. I didn't really feel like I was being treated like a human. Perhaps they feel the same way too.
기본적으로 이제 혼자
Because their main purpose is
to get food. Coming to a center like this one and getting in line and get free meal, it's not as easy as it sounds. They rather just eat ramen or less quality food than coming here and get the food. It has to do with a sense of dignity and sense of pride also. That's why coming to the place and getting food is not a really enjoyable practice. They don't come here to mingle and have fun, but they just come here to eat food, and that's it.
조금 그렇게 느껴질 수밖에 없어요.
We weren't able to piece together why the 200 won lunch had more patrons than the free one until that very instance. Craving but still lacking a sense of satisfaction from our volunteering experience, we asked him when he personally was rewarded with such gratification.
When he sees those people finding the purpose of life and getting employed and getting married, being able to live by themselves, actually being able to support themselves, to see those kind of people, he feels very rewarding.
Still feeling conflicted and hoping to make more sense of all the things we witnessed and the emotions we felt during our two Jokbangchon visits, we asked the director to take us into a residence and introduce us to one of the residents.
Wow, this place is dilapidated. Okay, the door is blocked off, so I actually literally have to squeeze through a quarter of the door.
Oh, wow. I need to take off my backpack. Wow.
We're entering a man's room.
안녕하세요.
There's literally not enough space for you.
Yeah.
So I'll just put my backpack down.
Can't barely sit down on the floor.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
안녕하세요.
Could you tell us about that picture?
It's me and my wife, but my wife passed away last December, so now I live alone.
I'm sorry to hear that. How long have you been living here?
I've been here in Yeongdeungpo for about 45 years, but I haven't been in this room for too long. In the old days, I had all sorts of jobs, including manual labor. My wife became ill from a disease and suffered for 10 years before passing away. Before moving here, we had a rented room in the three-story building you see over there. When she was sick, she would become angry at me and I would fight back. I regret that.
He goes on to tell us about his daughter and son, his eyes now watering. He says his son keeps telling him to move in with him rather than suffering in this tiny room. He tells us he's going to move in with his son, the lack of certainty in his tone and the watery eyes giving way to tears that momentarily silenced our conversation. Nevertheless, when we asked him about his favorite parts of daily life, he decisively answered that it was when he was on his way to work.
At the moment, I work in a self-support program. So each month, I make around 700 or 800,000 won. There are a few different types, but I'm with the city farming team. We work on little vegetable gardens. I do it 5 days a week, from 9 to 4 p.m. in winter, and in summer, from 9 to 5 p.m.
He was proud that he could still provide for himself, just like the elderly who collect cardboard in the tiny alleys of my neighborhood, the ones I've spent the better part of my time in Korea ignoring. As we made our way home, all the juxtapositions that the city had to offer suddenly became so apparent.
Standing outside of Yeongdeungpo Station, and if you turn left outside of Exit 6, you can head back to where we just were, the Gwangya Church and the surrounding Jokbangchon area. But right here on the other side, if you turn right outside of Exit 6, you have this mega shopping area. Sungcho, how far do you think we walked in between these two areas?
Probably not even 100 meters. Just standing here, I can't even imagine. If I weren't there before, I wouldn't have imagined that a place like that exists so close from here.
If I was gonna walk away from this experience with one thing changed, it was that all these people that I've kind of disregarded in the subway station, like, yeah, they look like they might be kind of filthy. I'm gonna steer a little bit further away from them. recognize that they come from a situation that they didn't have a hand in creating, that the society kind of is what it is. There's a lot of other factors at play. Accepting help is not that easy either.
Exactly.
Realizing I could no longer turn a blind eye to their situation, a conflicted sense of appreciation for what little I had began to set in, as the narratives laid down by the social welfare worker and homeless center director cemented themselves in my head.
I think support for livelihood stabilization is important, and helping the residents to escape from the neighborhood is also needed. Also, we should constantly provide jobs so they can become financially independent.
그런 방향이 필요할 것 같습니다.
밥을 주는 것도 어떤 사람들이
More than 70 to 80% of people don't like the idea of providing free meals and all kinds of support to homeless people. They might complain that oh, they're not working because they are getting free things from the society. But we have to keep in mind that these kind of problems also come from the structure of the society, and we have to have a sense of responsibility as living in the same community.
바라봐줬으면 좋겠다 말씀을 드리고 싶습니다.
Special thanks to Christina Su, Jamie Lee, Hansel Ju, Sungcho Jun, and Dr. Gang for all their help. The G1 podcast is off next week, but we'll be back in early August with a fresh edition of Foodie Call. If this edition moved you, please subscribe and like, but most importantly, share with someone who could use some perspective. We all can from time to time. As always, thanks for listening. I'm GP, and this has been the G1 podcast.